Haircon Publishing presents Before and During by Vladimir Shurov. Translated by Oliver Reddy. Narrated by Al Bernstein. The hospital grounds were extensive. Buildings in different styles and different, though faded colors, were grouped haphazardly around a large central flower bed, which now, at the end of autumn, was covered with yellow, patchy grass already sprinkled with snow, and the remains of flowers planted in clumps. The building to which I was headed, a recent prefab, stood directly opposite the gates, and I reached the sixth floor in good time. I needn't have hurried. Kronfeld was busy on his ward round, which had been held up by a ministerial commission, and a nurse told me that it would be at least an hour before he could see me. Thereupon the door to the ward was shut, and I was left alone in a small, bright space, almost like a conservatory that could equally have been a corridor or an anteroom. I felt trapped. I couldn't take the lift or the stairs. The window looked out onto the Yauza, which at this point was extremely narrow. Its embankment, a high granite wall, all but blocked the water from view. The parapet had recently acquired a cushion of snow, and the arm of a floating crane protruded from the depths beyond like a well sweep. I stood and watched, convinced that any moment now it would start bowing, or at least turn, but it never did. I'm only 45, but after a head injury 3 years or so ago, I slipped on ice near a bus stop and fell. I began having blackouts. 2 or 3 times a year I'd leave home and not come back. My family would go from morgue to morgue, queue up in police stations, be told they'd never see me again, but then after several weeks, sometimes months, I'd eventually turn up, whether in a detention cell somewhere in the South. Since childhood, I've been drawn to the South, to the sea. With no papers or money, having been arrested for vagrancy, or in one of the local psychiatric clinics. Usually I'd be badly cut and bruised after another beating at the hands of policemen or hospital attendants. I was told I could be troublesome, even violent in that state. Or of nameless companions on my wanderings. How I wished I could see myself at least once at such moments. Then I'd be laid up in bed at home for weeks at a time, but I'd always recover in the end. I have a strong constitution. Even my memory would return, though at first I could remember neither my Christian name nor my surname. For the time being, then, everything came back to me, and I found it neither hard nor painful, as if I were unspooling a length of thread. I could see how much my mother and aunt enjoyed talking to me, recalling what had happened, and once again I felt like a child whose recovery after a serious illness fills everyone around him with joy. How nice to see him get better. But the outlook was bleak, according to the doctors. People like me ended up murdered by criminals or crippled so badly they never walked again, while a third group, the police, tried to avoid having anything to do with us, would go missing for a year or more, and above all, after each new episode, my memory would be slower and less likely to recover until, in the end, complete amnesia beckoned. It was this terrifying prospect that had brought me to the hospital to see Kronfeld.